Friday edition. The Tausch wanted a five-day poll, and instead he got a poll 7 days after he asked for the poll. Can't wait to see what the results are. Edition. It's Friday, so you know what that means. Green and gold game preview. Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. And with a lot of advanced billing, I'm going to be honest, the latest headline from the Academy edition. And the live from West Lafayette, Indiana, home of the Boilermakers, and almost the home, if his father had had his way, of Brian Bulaga, who would have been saying Brian Bulaga, Purdue, if his dad had had his way.
Not the same.
No, it doesn't have the same ring to it. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, WisconsinOnDemand.com and Wisconsin On Demand app for all your ESPN Wisconsin needs. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And in West Lafayette, Indiana, for Badgers Boilermakers, boiler up or boiler down, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, hi! How are your travels?
Buddy. Smooth trip. Everything is good. I do wonder, which city in the Big Ten would you least like to visit?
Champaign, Urbana.
Wow, okay, that's fast. I think Champaign in West Lafayette. I think Champaign's much bigger than West Lafayette.
Yeah, but they're both close. They're close in not my favorite Big Ten garden spots.
You ever been to Piscataway?
I haven't been to Piscataway, so I can't comment on that. I think it's fair to say those would be your three in the poll. That people.
Bloomington?
I think at least Indiana's got that character about it. I think it's probably more of a college town vibe.
Yeah, I agree.
Than what this is. So I don't know. I mean, Jesse, you're a road trip guy. If your buddies get together and say, hey, let's. Tier one Tyler loads up the bubbler, puts it in the back of the rig, and says, we're going, I want to pick, you usually pick the weirdest cities to do a Packer game to.
It's true. Detroit.
Where would you say, this seems like a place nobody wants to go, this is where we're going to go on our caravan? I think West Lafayette might be at the top of the list.
There was a Badger season a couple of years ago where they did go to both Purdue and Rutgers, West Lafayette and Piscataway. I think it was back-to-back games, and that felt like, for all the reporters who would go and follow and cover the team at those locations, probably the worst possible schedule scenario for a Badgers season, to go to those two back-to-back. It's got to be West Lafayette or Piscataway. Champaign, because I went to school in Peoria, like, Champaign was always like, oh, we could go to the party school and go to Champaign. Like, okay, well, looking back on it, like, I think Champaign has some redeeming qualities if you're just going for, like, a weekend. I don't know, as an adult, it's probably different than as a college student. But right now, yeah, Piscataway, West Lafayette, I think 1-2 in the running, given whatever the weather is in each one would probably determine it.
So, yeah, weather's great here. Weather's great, but... like, it in Pullman, there was a great park, and there was people out fishing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, here I just went down because it's Eastern time zone, and you know how the time zones throw me off.
You love the Eastern time zone.
I'm still trying to piece this all together. I got a long afternoon yet before, obviously, we bus over and get ready for the game. So I'm going to go for a nice walk after the show, and I was asking, well, there's not really anywhere to go. There's busy roads here. You can go walk through, like, a residential neighborhood, and I'm thinking, I don't really
In your Badger gear?
I don't really want to be walking through a residential neighborhood. So it's fine. I mean, it is what it is, but it did make me think, I'm guessing, you know, I think the atmosphere tonight will be great. I think once you get over the stadium, but we're out a little ways. I think West Lafayette might be at the top of the list as far as this is a spot I'm not ready to go tailgate.
Or some might say the bottom of the list. So, all right, between as a player and as a fan and as an analyst, you've been to every current Big Ten city except for Piscataway, New Jersey, and Rutgers.
Maryland.
No, you've never been to College Park, Maryland.
I have not, and I would love to. And at some point, I'm guessing I will. But that I think that's obviously a college town too. Yeah, I've been to all these other spots, and they all have their redeeming qualities. The stadium and what Purdue does, and it's one of, again, probably no, not even probably my favorite road win in my college career was here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have great memories here. It's just different, and I think it's different can sometimes be better. Different can sometimes be worse.
So when you were playing in the NFL and you would go on a road trip. I remember being in Seattle and seeing virtually every offensive lineman walking to whatever their version of from back to school Thornton Mellon's tall and fat store was. There was like a tailor, a clothier that guys would go to when they were there. Maybe in Chicago too. You guys would obviously always go out to dinner or whatever it might be. When you were playing in college, did you explore the college towns in which you were playing on Friday night when you got into town before you played on Saturday? Or were you on lockdown
because
you were college players?
College and pros a lot different in that regard. Usually, if you had family come in, they'd come to the hotel. It's all a lot more buttoned up. First off, you don't have any money, so you don't go out and have a
Now you do.
Big steak dinner. I said back in the day, it's a different era. You go get a nice dinner. Now everything is the meals here. You watch a movie. You're not splitting away from
Oppenheimer.
Whereas, no, it's still not available on flights, which is a little quick popper, though, a little 40-minute jaunt, which was nice.
You and LePay didn't do, the on-demand rental in the room to watch Oppenheimer last night?
It's weird. That's Matt and I we're not sharing a room, Jesse. Not yet, anyways. I guess it depends on how the rest of the year goes. We lose to Purdue tonight. Maybe the next road trip will be split in a room. I don't know how that works. But no, I don't.
And Jesse, because I actually, this is a game that I have enjoyed playing in the past of your favorite and least favorite Big Ten destinations before Seattle, Eugene, Oregon, and Los Angeles come into the mix. I thought actually Piscataway wasn't horrible. Plus, you're not that far away from more bustling areas. College Park is great. Happy Valley is a really cool place to go.
Penn State is the best place to go watch a game, by far. Better than Michigan, better than Northwestern, Iowa, I think, is kind of a cool spot, too.
Yeah, agreed.
But Penn State is by far from a fan experience and just atmosphere. I mean, we got our brakes beat in, but the tailgating scene and the RV park and they do it about as good as anybody. I would put their scene up against probably anybody's as far as partying and college atmosphere. I think Penn State's probably right at the top of that list.
All right. One last thing on our tour of the Big Ten. I still, when I covered some games at the Big House in Ann Arbor, if you've never been there, it's really surprising the first time you go, because it's dug into the ground. And so you're expecting the Big House to be, big, right? But as you walk up to it, as you approach it, you kind of think it's a baby stadium, because the amount that's actually above ground is not as much as you would expect for a place called the Big House. Then you go in, and it's enormous, right? But that is one of the other surprises of Big Ten travels that I recall. Would you agree with that assessment?
I mean, aren't all stadiums dug into the ground? I mean, that's how footings and foundations are made, right?
It's lower than Lambeau.
There's a difference. There's a difference when the field is ground level.
I haven't been there since
level.
They expanded. I guess I haven't thought of through that deeply, so I can't give you a fair assessment. I did not feel that way. I felt like it was a massive joint. I didn't feel like it was baby or small.
When you're on the field, I'm sure it does feel that way.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way. But
all right,
again,
So what does your day look like? Take us through the Tausch road trip. As you can't find a place to go for a walk, What else do you have on your itinerary?
Well,
since you can't get Oppenheimer, I'm sure you're prepping and making notes about which numbers are which guys for Purdue and all those types of things. But what does the preparation look like now? Because this is the first time where we've talked to you since you have expanded to all games on the Badgers radio network, where we've talked to you on a game day. It's Friday and it's game day.
Yeah,
so what's your game day?
I love the fact that it's a Friday game, even though I've been a staunch critic of the Friday college football. I think it still should be high school football, but selfishly, it works out great this weekend for me.
Media
so
starts
I like
with
it.
Me.
Yeah, that is. I knew that was always the case, and now that I guess I could consider myself that for today, it is. Well, I got this show goes till 1 o'clock. We have some company meetings here till 2. So that gets me all the way to 2. Then I'm going to go find my spot for a walk for an hour. Then I'm going to finish up. I got my notes. I got to get ready for my interview with Coach Fickell before the game. And then all the other stuff. I have my board all put together already.
Ooh,
so
the big board.
I don't do as big a board. That's not. I have it mapped out. I tried to do the big board game one. It was too sloppy, so I tightened things up.
Okay.
So that's about the end. And then, you know, we'll be over at the stadium. Game kicks off here at 7:05, 6:05 by you guys. And that's my day. So it's a full day, but it should be I think it's going to be fun, and we'll find out a lot about where we're at as far as Big Ten play, Big Ten West, because Purdue, you know, this is a game we should win. It's a game we should win. Whether or not we do, we'll find out. But I'm very curious to see where this team is at after what we see tonight, and how the rest of this season is going to go. Because you're hoping to see progress, and that should start tonight.
So when you say that, do you think you have a better idea of how good or not so good, I suppose, the Packers are? Or do you feel like you have a better idea of how good or not good the Badgers are? Because it feels to me like we're on fact-finding missions with both of these teams, and it's going to keep going, even though I know you felt pretty good about the Packers through 7 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a better gauge on where the Green Bay Packers are than I do the Badgers right now. I look at it, and I know they have their systems in place. I think Wisconsin's still figuring it out. So I have a much better feel about where Green Bay is at, what they're trying to do. I know what Wisconsin is trying to do, and I'll be curious how quick can everybody get on the same page, whereas I think in Green Bay, everybody's on the same page. It's just how good and how can they execute it better than what they're doing. Here, I still think there's questions as far as where everything is at and where it's heading. And that is coaches included. And that makes sense because LaFleur and his staff have run it back, and they're in a position where they've all been doing the same things. Now, granted, different players, but they know what they're expected to be doing. And I think Wisconsin's still figuring that out.
All right, last thing before you tell us about Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. From one professional interviewer to another, what do you got planned for Fickell?
You know, it's always tricky because you're 2 hours or 2.5 hours pregame, and the doing radio stuff with him, it's a lot easier because you can have fun and it's more long form. Here, it's quick. He and I don't think he really wants to be doing a ton of stuff. I think it's serious game mode. He's in a suit. So I don't do the joking around, and I'm not Walter Cronkite. So I think it's, to me, the biggest question. I'm still going to ask the questions I'm most interested in, which is, how are you going to get out to a better start? Because it has not happened. How do you change your approach? And then there's some injured players that I think, you know, hopefully whether or not they're going to be back, we'll get some answers pregame on that. So those are the two things that I'm looking at doing.
We're getting West Lafayette suggestions, Kithy in Madison. My dad went to Purdue, so yeah, I've been there a few times. Try out the Tippecanoe Battlefield Museum. It's nearby, and I always found it interesting. Hey, you're a history guy.
I do love history.
Might be perfect for you. Plus, if it's big enough, you can also get your steps in.
Yeah, that's true.
So keep those West Lafayette travel tips coming. I don't know who the A.J. Dillon is of West Lafayette, but if you have any other tips, Tausch will take them. I have a tip for you, and that is, if you're thinking about replacing your windows, don't be foolish. Go with Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And it is time to replace those drafty old stinky, creaky windows. You don't want to do it during the dead of winter when it's freezing out. You got all your money flying out the windows because the cold air and you can't keep the heat in. Don't do it during the dead of winter. Pella has the great deal going on right now. You pay as low as $19 a month per window, $75 a month on patio doors. The installation is completed with no mess and no hassle, and it leaves nothing behind but perfect results. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. You get 6.99% APR financing for 120 months. Certain restrictions do apply. You see showroom for details. This offer ends on the 30th of September.
Not going to lie, didn't like this poll a week ago, didn't like it yesterday, don't like it today. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you what the poll was and where things stand. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
So there are times when there's no avoiding it. I irritate Tausch. I get it. Might have been a few instances yesterday. And the day before that. And the day before that. But I try to avoid it. So I don't think it makes anybody's life better. Sometimes it makes for better content. But more often than not, not a good idea. So Jesse, I ask you, when Tausch asks you to post a poll, tells you to post a poll, demands that you post a poll, and make it a 5-day poll, and instead you just don't post it at all. What's your thought process there?
I thought that Tausch had said wait 5 days to post the poll.
There's no... You're lying now. You're making it worse by lying, because we had a whole conversation about how you could change the duration of the poll.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So now you've, on top of not doing your job, now you've lied.
Yeah, I did do
so
that.
So just put down the shovel and tell the truth.
I forgot about it. We were at the golf outing last week. I forgot to post the poll. We had a lot going on. Bucky was there. McIntosh was there. Domovsky was on with us. I had a headline I had to come up with. I just forgot to post the poll.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty eventually. Now, I didn't like this poll, Tausch. Didn't like it.
Okay. Why?
I know you and Evan liked it, but what I viewed it as, and tell me if you disagree, was in some ways a referendum on if you're a fan, because the poll question was this. Had Aaron Rodgers suffered a season-ending injury this year as a member of the Packers instead of as a member of the Jets, do you believe he would have retired rather than planning to return to play next season? And if you were down on him for all the reasons that, and some of them very valid, that Packers fans were down on him for, because this poll, it's over 1,000 votes, and 70% of the people who've responded have said he would have retired. And again, I feel like that demonstrates more of an animus toward him and, oh, he didn't care about the Packers, so he just said, screw it, I quit. I'm going to retire. And it cheapens his competitiveness and all the other things because people think he wasn't invested last year and they're down on him. That's how it reads to me.
But
tell
Jason,
me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, but Jason, you've said you didn't think he was as invested. As he was
right,
with the New
but
York
I,
Jets.
But the idea that he would go out like this, if you're...
No, I get... I understand it, but here's the deal, I think, and why it is an interesting poll. Again, the reason I like polls is it gets to the psychology of how people are feeling about someone at this time.
Agreed.
Things
that
change.
I agree with.
That's why I like getting that input and getting that data so that, you know, we can see if maybe what how we think is either, yes, we're right or we're wrong. Aaron Rodgers, how he reacted and changed when he moved to the New York Jets told you a lot about how he approached his last year or two in Green Bay.
No doubt.
That irritated Packer fans. For sure last year. And the psychology of whether or not he would have kept playing, I agree. I think he – I'm in the minority on this poll.
I think
he would have, because he is a fiery competitor, and he still has – you know, there's still a financial commitment that kind of forces the team's hand. A lot of times when you get older and there's injuries, that's kind of the it's time. It's time where the financial commitment's done. Well, that's not the case with Aaron. Plus, he still was playing at a good level. It's not like his play, while I think he has slowed down a step, his arm is still rifling strong, and I think he still loves playing the game. So I'd have a hard time believing he is going to want to go out on his own terms. He is not going to want an Achilles tendon. Now, injuries bite you, and eventually they suck the talent out of you, and mentally it becomes – he is going to go through a mental slog here. He has all these different ways of doing it, but I just don't believe for a minute, even if that happened at Lambeau Field and he popped his Achilles week one, I would have a really hard time buying that he would just say, I'm done. I think he would have rehabbed it and fought back. And even if the Green Bay Packers said, we're going to move to Jordan Love because he's played now, it would have been another fascinating experiment to see how the Packers would have reacted. Obviously, you know, Goody is looking at it and he's gone, so he doesn't have to worry about it. But he would have owed him a ton of money, and he had Jordan Love there. It would have been a fascinating scenario. Luckily for Goody, he is not going to have to deal with that because he moved forward in trading Aaron.
So my question then to you, given that stellar explanation for why you believed in this poll, is what does this tell you about the psychology of our fans, that 70% having seen, like, look, we can debate till the cows come home this David Bakhtiari thing. In fact, I believe Homer and Chewy this morning on Jen Gabe and Chewy did exactly that. I'm not sure if they talked about anything else, quite frankly, on their show today. But I feel like Aaron Rodgers has established his bona fides of, I'm going to play through everything I can play through, right? I am ultra competitive, and while I'm not indestructible like the previous guy was, that was the guy before me in the quarterback succession, I have a pretty damn strong resume of playing through. I mean, coming back in 2018 with the fractured tibial plateau in his knee, right? 2008, his first year as the starter, having to go down to the Hudson Center to convince the medical staff that he could throw a football with a separated shoulder. Throwing shoulder. Like, the stuff that he has playing with a broken thumb. I say this all the time, but Brett Favre was celebrated for doing it in 99 and 03, and Rodgers, the assessment was, well, he sucked last year. And that he got no benefit of the doubt from many fans about playing with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. So when I read 70% think he would just hang it up if he was with the Packers, because he doesn't give a damn about the Packers is what that implies to me.
Yep.
I feel like that is a recency bias of I hate who he became and I have forgotten who he was.
But isn't that what polls and isn't that what you're trying to glean?
Yeah, right. What I'm saying is it bothers me that many people feel that way.
Why? That's how they feel.
It disappoints me in people.
But don't you felt the same way?
Not to the degree where I would denigrate the rest of his track record.
Well, but
there's
you're not
like
talking
like even
Jason,
you even no 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 wait a minute even okay. You said, as we were talking about investment, right? And we agree on last year, but at first you said the last couple of years, and I said, well, wait a minute, right? I mean, the guy won the MVP in 21. Like, that was, you can argue that last year he deserves a ton of criticism, and I will agree with you that he deserves a criticism. I would say that criticism if and when he ever reappears on this program. But 21? That's how angry people are at him for what he did last year.
Wasn't 21 the year he thought he might be traded to San Francisco and said he he torched the organization,
right.
Didn't do anything in the offseason? So the point on this is, I think Packer fans felt like he had checked out. That's why I'm not surprised by this poll. I disagree. I think he could have done more, and he showed as much by changing his complete approach when he went to a new place. So he acknowledged that. He let his, I guess, anger and disappointment in how the organization was handling things, and he let that affect how he had, for the rest of his career, viewed doing things a certain way.
Right.
And that's
how he
why
treated teammates
and
all those
and
things.
Fans have not forgotten that. Will they forget it when he comes? Absolutely they will. Time heals all, and it will happen. But that's why 70% are saying, I think he felt so strong and he'd say that. And I disagree with them. I think he would have come back.
Right, that's all I'm saying is I disagree, though.
But that's not how fans feel. That's not how fans feel.
Right, and I feel like I have insight that would hopefully at least change some of their opinions, because I think it's an emotional reaction.
That's what fans do.
I understand. The other thing about this, and I agree with you, came back in 21 and torched the organization. I've never sat through a press conference like that before, ever, right? What does it tell you that he played with a broken thumb last year? I know that's been forgotten. But does that tell you that he's just a narcissist and he didn't want to give up his... This is another Rorschach test about Aaron Rodgers. Because if you take the fact that he played with a broken thumb, if you dislike him, hate him, whatever, you look at it as, well, he just didn't want to let Jordan Love play and have him outplay him. So he refused to go out, right? And if you are more positive in your view of him, you're like, hey, he believes he gives them the best chance to win, and he's competitive. He wanted to keep playing because he wanted to win games. Again, it's how you perceive him that would affect how you would vote in a poll about why do you think Aaron Rodgers played with a broken thumb last year.
No, I mean, that there I would disagree. It's about his competitiveness, and he knew that he gave his team the best. That was not narcissism.
I agree. But don't you think people would vote that it was?
I don't think that's
Jesse,
the case.
Jesse, 5-day poll, put it in the field.
Not narcissism.
It's not narcissism.
You could say that he has some tendencies, I'm not arguing that, but not in this case.
You think he was afraid that Jordan Love would play well if he went out and didn't play?
God, no. No, that was not the
case. I bet people would vote that they thought he would.
I don't think that. I think even the most ardent haters of Aaron would admit that he was going to give him the best chance to win, and he was toughing it out, mm-hmm. as he did with mm-hmm. his calf and everything else that he had done throughout the time. He was not going to miss time unless he physically couldn't do it.
Like
broken collarbone, ruptured Achilles.
I think you're going to be disappointed, and if we pull that, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Don't.
Yep,
no.
I do. Okay. I'm not putting it on my Twitter.
Yeah,
put it on Jesse's. I
don't think it's a Twitter. You can if you want. I think we've done our Aaron Rodgers commentary for the day.
So open up a Coors Light and chill out over there.
I'm going to wait to do a Coors Light. Maybe I'll do one tomorrow, but it is a great time to chill, and it's always Coors Light in my hand because it's brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged because it's made to chill, born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. Coors Light's refreshing, it's crisp, and it's only 102 calories. That's why it's Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Green and Gold game preview is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Putting this ball in the field now. Now I want to see. Now I'm interested in the psychology of the Packer fan. I think you're wrong about this. I hope you're right. But I think you're wrong about this. Why do you think Rodgers played through a broken thumb on his throwing hand last season? His pure competitiveness, narcissism, insecure about love, or other?
You're going to get crushed on this.
Crushed? How?
No, I mean, you're going to... I know you hate Twitter now that Elon has taken over, but...
It's not... That's not why
you're going to take... You're going to take a beat for posting that poll. Just so you know, I'm happy you're doing it.
We are not talking about Aaron Rodgers on Wilde and Tausch. It's first sentence. But Mark Tauscher believes Twitter polls give insight into Packers fan psychology, and we were arguing about this. So...
There you go. All right, that's a couple of good disclaimers. That's maybe me. You won't get crushed.
Big on the disclaimer. All right, polls in the field for better or for worse. Time now for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
All right, fellas. Packers Saints, the home opener for Jordan Love is QB1 Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. Our three big questions in the Green and Gold game preview for Sunday's game. Question number one.
Turnovers.
We'll get to the turnovers. Question one. Okay. What is the big... Well, maybe this is, because he doesn't have any yet. What is the big storyline heading into this game on Sunday afternoon?
A couple of things. Aaron Jones, very happy to see him practicing yesterday. That's a good sign as far as playing and what that will mean for this offense. But it's all about the run defense to me. In New Orleans with Derek Carr, I'm not overly concerned about that. I think the Falcons kind of gave you the blueprint for what you're going to do to try to beat the Green Bay Packers, and that is we don't think you can hold up running the football. Do they have Bijan? They do, but he ain't playing. So when you factor all that in, this better be a get-right game. I don't want to hear about, well, we're adjusting and you know what Kenny Clark said before the opener against the Bears? It's different. Okay, let's see it. Because you know what New Orleans is going to do. You shouldn't give up more than 20 points to this team. If you do, bad news, Bears. That's what I'm looking for this week.
So I've been fascinated by Matt LaFleur's approach about talking about the run defense. After the game, he used the word shredded.
Yeah.
Then on Monday, he used the word gashed.
Yeah. Hopefully there's some stitches that they got.
So here's the thing, and because Tausch took what I was going to say, and not just because I wrote about it in the State Journal this morning, but if they have trouble against the run in this game, there's bigger problems. Because Jamal Williams is out, and Alvin Kamara is finishing up his three-game suspension. So they do not have either of the guys that they want running the football. So they're going to have a rookie third-round pick who hasn't played yet this season.
No.
In Kendre Miller, who's going to be their lead back. But he had a hamstring injury. Lord knows if he's going to be able to carry a full load. And then Tony Jones Jr., who is a practice squad guy. And then you know who else played running back for them and ran 9 times for 75 yards? Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
On Monday night.
I heard he's the greatest football player of all time.
Very versatile. Should have never let him go. And yes, that's me raising my hand.
They should not have let him go. I think that's a fair assessment.
Oh, thanks. I get killed for that every time I say it. Bottom line is, if you can't stop the run against this group without Jamal Williams, who led the NFL in rushing touchdowns a year ago, without Alvin Kamara, then you got real problems. That is the storyline to me.
Next up in the Green and Gold game preview, besides Jordan Love, which player is most important to the Packers' success this weekend? Could be some interesting choices here, Tausch.
Yeah, I think you could always go Aaron Jones here if he's playing, because I think he's that vital to what they're doing. But I'm going to flip the script here a little bit, and I'm going to say Josh Myers. We have been very tough on Josh Myers. The Dr. Blue has come on his appearance with us, and he breaks down the film, and it's not been good. At some point, it's either going to get better or it's not. And the interior run game, if it's going to be A.J. Dillon getting a chunk of carries again, because even if Aaron Jones plays, I'm assuming it will be much more limited than what I think most of us want. They got to run the football better. And this isn't Aaron Rodgers' offense. This is Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love's offense. And running the football and doing all those play actions, we want to see more efficiency with the run game when it's not Aaron Jones. And I think Josh Myers is the guy. That's where I think I'm going to be looking most this weekend.
First of all, do we think David Bakhtiari plays or not? Purely guessing, because we literally have no information, right? He didn't practice at all going into Chicago. He played. He didn't practice at all going into Atlanta. He didn't play. He hasn't practiced yet this week, so who the hell knows?
Well, did anyone ask him how his knee is feeling, or is it all about turf?
I was not talking to Rudy Ford. I was talking to the quarterback, Jordan Love, not to David Bakhtiari, but I don't think he was actually asked, how does your knee feel today, when he spoke on Wednesday.
Yeah, I would bet that he's not going to play then, but that's just simply a guess, because if he is, if his knee was bad enough that he couldn't play last week, has it gotten that much better, you know, in a week? Probably not, but I hope he is. I hope he's able to get out there and play.
Because if he doesn't, their offensive line then, in theory, is... Because I don't think they're going to move Zach Tom. Do you?
No.
So then their offensive line is Zach Tom at right tackle, John Runyon at right guard, because I think he would be their next choice if they wanted to try something different at center.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think they want to move Zach Tom right now. But
they shouldn't either.
I agree. Josh Myers at center. And then I'm wondering if it's, and again, I'm at a practice and they don't show you much during the time that we're there, but is it going to be Royce Newman again? Is it going to be Sean Ryan? What are they going to do there? And then, once again, it's going to be Rashid Walker at left tackle then. That does not lend itself, that group, against a really good front to things going super easily and well on Sunday. So, to me, David Bakhtiari is really important. On the other side of that, which we haven't talked about, if they get Christian Watson back, which he took the day off yesterday, it was a scheduled day off, they didn't want to push him 3 days of practice in a row. If he's back out there today and he's able to play on Sunday, I think that gives their offense a huge lift. And if they can protect, mm-hmm. I think they can get a down-the-field play to Christian Watson, because he's proven he can do that even against really good corners.
Last up in the green and gold, game preview for Packers-Saints Sunday at noon. The Packers win the home opener for Jordan Love as QB1 and for the 2023 season, if blank. Tausch, how do you fill in that blank?
I think if he keeps his streak of not turning the football over, they win. New Orleans offensively is very limited. You see what they've done so far. And I think this Packer defense is going to be pretty fired up. They have taken a lot of shrapnel this week, and I always, in a weird way, like it when the Packers defense takes that on, because it seems like that ratchets up their intensity. Their O-line, New Orleans O-line, you know, Ramczyk, they're going to be able to protect. Hopefully, you know, Green Bay will have some ideas to get after it and be able to create some turnovers, but I just don't think, if you don't turn it over and give a short field, I don't think the New Orleans Saints will have enough firepower to score enough points to beat a team led by Jordan Love, who is averaging, 28 points a game. I just don't see it. So if he didn't turn it over, you're going to see a good night for the Green Bay Packers.
I think they win if Jordan Love goes a third game without turning the ball over. I know we'd like to make fun of the turnover thing,
But isn't that what that's what I just said, right?
This group looks like, yeah, I know. I understand. Oh, okay. I don't have to say something different, do I?
I don't think you have to, but
I want to see how good Jordan Love is against this defense. I want to see if he makes mistakes. I want to see if he gets sacked more. He's got 2 sacks on the season. I'm a little worried about how they're going to get after him. I'm a little worried about what kind of pressure he's going to be under from their front. I think that's how, as you well know, that's how turnovers happen.
Yep.
I also still am worried, and I know that he and I have turned this into a little bit of a vaudeville act, but I'm still worried about him not sliding and taking chances, being the helicopter parent slash beat writer I am. This is going to be a really big challenge. I don't think it's a challenge for the Packers defense. If the Packers defense, like I said earlier, plays poorly, they got problems.
Yeah, and Dennis Allen, to whatever you want to say about him as a head coach, he's a very good schemer of defenses. He is, I think, New Orleans defense, even with Sean Payton, he's done a very good job of making New Orleans defense create turnovers, and that's where this game's going to come down to. And if Jordan Love is as solid with the football as he's been through 2 weeks, he's going to probably be challenged more this week than he has been. Definitely, this will be his biggest challenge as a starter in this league through 3 weeks.
That is the green and gold game preview. Is this correct that I'm looking at, that you have farmed out trivia to Tier 1 Tyler, who, unlike you, came to Steinhoffel's yesterday and spent some time with us?
He got it in just before deadline, but yes, in your inbox you will find Tier 1 Tyler's Big Easy Does It trivia. Questions about Nolans.
I really like that.
That's good.
As I peruse the questions, I like the questions too. They're not too hard, they're not too easy, they're just right, like Goldilocks. Caller 10 right now, caller 10 right now. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. We'll play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Trivia brought to you by Tier 1 Tyler and Bubbler, the official caffeinated beverage of the Wilde Family Basement Studios. Let's bring in our contestant. So yesterday we had Jeff and Monroe. Today we have Jeff and McFarland. If we did a Saturday show, we would have what? Jeff and Stoughton? Jeff and...
I think we've got a Jeff and Racine who calls in for trivia quite a bit.
A lot of Jeffs.
Right.
Yep. Jeff, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, gentlemen. It's been a while, and I've been fine on this Friday.
All right, the category is Big Easy Trivia. I wouldn't say the questions are necessarily easy. They're about the Big Easy. And Tausch, I'll handle this for you. I know you got a lot on
Thank
your plate
you.
There in West Lafayette.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Question number one, Jeff, is this. Which New Orleans Saints player intercepted Peyton Manning in Super Bowl...
Tyler.
44 to seal their victory over the Indianapolis Colts? Was it Tracy Porter, Terrell Pryor, or Ed Reed?
Wow, coming out hot.
That's
in the
a
first
hard
question.
Question to start.
Hey, yeah. It's Tyler. You asked for Tyler's
Tyler.
Question. This is what you get.
Wow.
You want your options again?
Can you repeat? Yeah, please repeat the options.
All right. Tracy Porter, Terrell Pryor, or Ed Reed?
Wow. When in doubt, go with A. So I will say Tracy Porter.
Indeed. Now, did he also intercept Favre?
Yes.
Listen, he came through big time. He was like their Tremont Williams.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Indeed. Well said.
That was the one.
All right, Jeff, good start. That was tough. Terrell Pryor was a quarterback at Ohio State and played wide receiver in the NFL. And Ed Reed was old. I get it. But it was still tough. Question two is this. Drew Brees holds the Saints franchise record for starts by a quarterback with 228 games. Which Saints quarterback ranks second on that list? Is it Aaron Brooks, Archie Manning, or Teddy Bridgewater?
Ooh. I'll go Archie Manning. Let's go old school.
Jeff, I don't know if you know what the hell you're talking about, but your guessing is right on point today. So keep up the great work.
It's Lucky Friday.
Here we go. Question three. Which I'm going to go out on a limb and say is also going to require some guessing. Which U.S. president purchased the entire Louisiana colony, including New Orleans, in 1803 for $15 million. All right, which president purchased the Louisiana colony in 1803? Was it John Adams, James Madison, or Thomas Jefferson?
Wow. You guys don't want to make it easy, do you?
Send any of us.
Well, when in doubt, go with your favorite president. So I'll say Thomas Jefferson.
Wow.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Dude, Jeff, I don't want to besmirch your rising to the occasion by saying it was all pure guessing, but whatever you want to call it, you were perfect today. 3 for 3. That gives you 4 entries into our drawing later in the show. Bravo, sir. Congrats. Well done. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome. Love you guys.
That is Will D'Attach Trivia. That was impressive.
Yeah. Legit, like sometimes you think, well, he's guessing. Legit, he was guessing on all three and he got all three right. I almost wish he would have waited and went to the casino or something and just did that on roulette numbers and made a little bit of cash. But kudos to Jeff.
Well, how do we critique Tyler's trivia this week?
Hard.
I thought it was fair. Fair, but good.
Hard.
The text responses are coming in saying question one was easy because only one of those players actually played for the Saints.
That's true.
But you still have to know that.
Yeah, and Ed Reed bounce around a little bit toward the end trying to keep his career going?
No, I think he just finished. Didn't he finish with the Ravens and maybe Houston? I don't think he went
Ed Reed played for the Baltimore Ravens from 2002 through 2012, then played for both the Texans and the Jets.
Okay, he did bounce around.
He was on the Jets?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure Ed remembers his stay with the Jets, probably, but nevertheless. All right, that is Will D'Attach Trivia, the 10 o'clock hour, which will include our prize picks for Sunday's Packers-Saints game, and Rob Domofsky, all scheduled early in the 10 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Will D'Attach.